Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, we're going to be looking at tonight a message on prayer and fasting. Really, we're dealing with fasting. I realized after I made that call last Sunday at the church about fasting on Mondays that I had really never brought a message on fasting. So I started praying and asking the Lord to guide me and a message to preach so that we could understand fasting the proper way. Maybe you do, but many people don't. And I've had a lot of people inquisitive about it. And so we're going to be preaching tonight, Lord willing, on the subject of fasting. And we're going to start out here in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 17. There in verse 14, the Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them," and listen closely, these are the key tonight, and this last part, "because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Father God, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Help me now, Lord, anoint me to be able to preach here just for a few minutes and explain the doctrine of fasting. And Lord, that you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, after seeking the Lord's guidance on this message, I believe I've got exactly what he wants us to hear tonight. But here in our opening text, this very familiar story. This man brings his son, who he calls a lunatic. I mean, he's vexed with the devil. The Bible tells us he had a devil. They call in some Bible versions, they said he had epilepsy. I don't know if that's what he had or not. I do know he was possessed by a devil. And he was doing similar things to someone who has epilepsy, but we can't say that's what it was. We know it was a devil that was hindering him and bothering him. And so this man comes to the disciples and asking for a cure. Jesus, in the meantime, is up on the mountain, on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, he's up there with three of the disciples and Peter, James, and John, and they're up there, and they see the glory of the Lord and as he transfigures on that mountain. Well, when they come back down, there's this huge crowd of people, and nine of the disciples are still down here. Three went up, nine stayed down. And here comes this man, and he's been trying to get his son cured. So he came to the people he thought could cure him, the disciples of Jesus Christ. And it was only natural that they should be able to do this. And I'll explain that in just a minute. But here he comes to ask for his son to be healed, and they're not able to do it. And so I want you to notice, I said that important part there, that there's four things that Jesus told them was the reason they were unable to do this. Four things. He said in verse 20 that was because of their unbelief. In the same verse 20, he essentially told them they lacked enough faith. And then in verse 21, he told them that it required prayer and fasting. He said, this kind of faith, this kind of belief can only come by prayer and fasting, is what he's saying. And this type of miracle, of course. So all four of these ingredients are needed for these disciples to be able to cure this young man. And we tend to sometimes overlook the part about belief and faith. Those are hand in hand. Those go together. And I tell you, how many times have you got down on your knees and prayed and didn't really believe? You were praying prayers of unbelief. Am I the only one here tonight that can stand here and say that I've prayed before thinking there's no way this prayer is going to get answered? Or maybe something's went on so long and you start thinking to yourself, God's not going to answer this prayer. Or I'm praying for nothing. It seems like this is just not doing any good. If I'm the only one, I'm probably the most unspiritual man in this building tonight. But I'll tell you what, I've done that. I've got down and prayed about things for long periods of time and started thinking in my head, you know, well, God's not going to answer this prayer. And I believe that's what's going on with these disciples. They don't have enough faith to believe that what they can do through the power of God, even though he's allowed them to be able to do these things. It's obvious in this story that they didn't believe that they could do this, and they were unable to. They couldn't heal this boy. They had no confidence in it because they didn't have any faith. They didn't believe and didn't have any faith. And you may wonder, well, why should they expect to be able to heal people? Well, you can write this down or go there, but over a few chapters back in Matthew 10, verses 5 through 8, the Bible tells us this. It says, these 12, talking about the disciples, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here he says it in verse 8. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. So the disciples, Jesus has empowered them to be able to heal people. He told them to go out. It says the 12. So these men, by all intents and purposes, should have been able to do this miracle. But they were unable to. They lacked faith. They had unbelief. And why? Obviously, they were not praying and fasting. That's what Jesus is alluding to. You're not praying and fasting. That's why you don't have the power to do this. And so fasting. Now, I'm not sure when it happened, but somewhere over the last 2,000 years, the practice of fasting has really kind of went away in the church, in the Christian church. Now, it was very common for the early first century church for everyone to fast, twice a week, actually. People in the early New Testament church fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays. That was the days of fasting for the Christians. Now, the Jews fasted on opposite day. They fasted on, I believe it was Monday and Thursdays. It was different days than the Christians did. But they did this. History tells us, there's historical records that show us that the early church, till about 315 A.D., practiced fasting twice a week. And somewhere it just kind of went away. It just kind of faded. So what is fasting? Well, first of all, the word fast comes from a Greek word which means to abstain from food. That's what fasting is. That's the definition of it. To abstain from food. When you go to sleep at night, you're not eating. You know what happens? You're fasting during the night. What do you do when you get up in the morning? What do you eat? Breakfast. Breakfast. That's what that means. You're breaking your fast from the night before. And so breakfast is breaking a fast. And that's simply what it means. You're doing without food. These days, you may hear messages preached and people get up and they're well-meaning. And they'll say things like, well, fasting's really more than abstaining from food. It can entail all kinds of things. And while it can, I've heard them get up and say such statements as, well, fasting is abstaining from not just food. It could be television, internet, or anything that brings you pleasure. And while that is okay, there's nothing wrong with that, that's not the biblical definition of fasting. That's not what it is. They might even use the example of Daniel. I've heard men say this, that when Daniel was in Babylon, he abstained from eating the king's meat. He only ate the pulse. He only ate the other food. And so that was a fast for him. Well, that's not what the Bible says that it was his fast. It mentions fasting that he did later on in the chapter, but that was not fasting. He was abstaining from the food because he knew it was displeasing to God. And so they'll use any kind of reasoning. And so they'll say, well, you can abstain from drinking a chocolate milkshake if that's what you like to do, or, abstain from eating anything that you really like, or heaven forbid, fried chicken, abstain from fried chicken. And like I said, that sounds real spiritual and all, and there's nothing wrong with it on the outlook of it, but it's not what the Bible says about fasting. It's not biblical fasting. Let me show you a proper example of fasting in the Bible. And this is the story of the temptation of Christ. If you want to look at it in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, just verses 1 and 2, and you'll see that Jesus, we all know the Bible says that he was led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And this was on purpose that this happened. The Holy Spirit led him up there for this purpose. But while he was there in Matthew 4, 1 and 2, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And verse 2 says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Now, notice it says that Jesus was afterward hungered. It did not say he was thirsty. What did Satan tempt him with at the in the middle of this? Bread. He tempted him with bread. Why? He was hungry. He was abstaining from food. Now, most likely, Jesus was drinking water. He was keeping himself, you know, with water because it doesn't say he was thirsty. And over in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, in those days he did eat nothing. It didn't say he did not drink anything. And so the biblical example of fasting is abstaining from food. And it can be for certain periods of times. It can be a day. It could be 3 days. It could be here Jesus went 40 days. Now, I would never recommend anybody fast for 40 days. You could get deathly sick. People have died trying to do that. You will find examples in the Bible where they abstain from both food and water. For example, over in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 6, the Bible says, then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water. For he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. Now, so we find Ezra here. He's not eating or drinking. But the reason he's doing this is because he's in a mourning state because of the people had came back from captivity and they were continuing to sin. And so he was in a state of mourning. Throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you'll find that people fasted while they were mourning. And it's natural that you fast when you're mourning. What happens? Somebody passes away that you love and everybody wants to bring you food, right? I remember when my father passed away, our house was filled full of food. But there's something in the first few days you don't want to eat. I mean, you can hardly. You don't want to eat or drink. You're in mourning. And so mourning is tied to fasting in a lot of the times in the Bible. That's what Ezra doing. He's mourning over the sins of the people, and he's so sick about it, he just can't eat or drink. But we do find Ezra proclaimed a fast. And this was a real fast. Ezra 8, 21 through 23. It says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. Now, in the Old Testament, a lot of times you don't see the word fast used. It's called afflict. They say we want to afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. So that right there is a good biblical example of fasting. Ezra, this is a national fasting for the Jews here. What they're doing, they're leaving captivity. They know their enemies are going to come up against them. Ezra says they don't want to go and ask the king for help. We don't want to go and ask Cyrus for soldiers to protect us here, because we've already went and bragged to him that our God will watch over us and he'll take care of any enemies. And so therefore we're going to fast and we're going to get ourselves right and we're going to pray that God will watch over us and protect us. And so that's what they were fasting for. They were praying and pleading for the Lord to watch over them, offer them protection. And the Bible says he entreated of us. And so that's what that fast was instituted for. And that's a great example of why you may fast. Is you're seeking direction from God or protection from God. You're looking for an answer. And so that's a great reason.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
Shout!